have from your right, we have Carrie Damsky, famous winemaker, Tim Bucher, engineer and winemaker and a Sonoman, and then Julia Vasquez from Deloche. She's winemaker at Deloche now making fantastic Pinots again. So I'm going to turn it over to Tim.
Great. Thanks, Jordan. All right. We're on the home stretch now. After us, what is it, the party, the barbecue, something like that? So we'll try to make this very brief. Well, thanks for sticking around until the end, those of you who are still here. We're going to kind of do this part panel and part presentation. And, you know, there may be a surprise. We might actually be tasting something in the audience, so we just don't know. So we're going to talk to you about tastingroom.com. It's a new company and started about a year ago or so. So Julia, as Jordan mentioned, she's the winemaker for Deloche, and she's actually going to talk about how Deloche is using what Tasting Room is doing from a Pinot perspective, because when we look at all of our winery partners, we have quite a few winery partners, and you'll learn about that in a bit. There's only one of our partners who is exclusively doing Pinots with us, and that's Deloche. So I think you'll find her comments very interesting. And Carrie, he's our chief wine officer, and he really just wanted to join us because he wanted that title, CWO, right?
Publicly,
yeah. So he has that on his card. So we want to talk a little bit about what is Tasting Room. We want to talk about our two businesses. We actually have two businesses. One is just working directly with wineries. And then the other one is a fairly new one, which we just launched about a week and a half ago that we're going to talk about here. And then, you know, kind of summarize how it is we work with wineries. What is the process? What do we do? But first, let's start about what the hell do we do? And so, you know, Tasting Room, there's only one mission that we have. We want to help the industry sell wine, period. And we're coming at it from a slightly different perspective than the 100-point scale. And Dan had some great comments in his presentation. And our philosophy is, you know, let this complex sensory product be determined in your palate. That's really the vision of tastingroom.com. It's really focused on expanding just that part of physical tasting rooms, the part of tasting wine, trying wine. In order to help sell wine. And we do that with two different mechanisms. One is a sampling process, which is kind of crazy. We kind of brought a bunch of different technologies together from semiconductor technology and pharmaceutical industry. We're going to talk about that. And really what we do is we take 750 milliliter bottles, or 375s, or 1 liters, or 1.5s, whatever the finished product is. Because as you know, as you've heard probably throughout the day, and as you know, just from your experience with wine, it's a living thing, right? It changes in bottle, and what we're trying to do is take a snapshot of that wine at a point in time, and it's good for a small period of time that wineries, that trade, that restaurant, somms, you name it, can try and determine if they actually like that wine, as opposed to relying on a 100-point scale. And then a week and a half ago, we launched an online marketplace, which ironically enough is called tastingroom.com. So if any of you have internet access here, you can go to tastingroom.com and see what we're going to be talking about there. So again, the two core businesses are ones where we work just with wineries. And that really came about sort of as an accident in a way, because we were really focused on the consumer business, but then a lot of wineries said, wow, you know, can I buy my own wines from you? And as we started to really dig into that, we realized, wow, there's a huge trade opportunity there, because when you have distributor reps all over the country, or you're out there with your national sales team, you know, we're all lugging around 750 milliliter bottles and leaving them at restaurants or leaving them at retail outlets or with buyers or what have you. And in addition to that, sometimes we don't know what the reps are doing with our wines, right? Maybe we're, you know, in the hot sun in Phoenix, Arizona, and trying to get two or three or four tastes out of it, and the wine's being cooked. And, you know, as you know, if somebody doesn't like your wine, and if they're a big buyer, they're never going to buy your wine, period. So really presenting the wine in sort of the perfect pour way was another reason why that came about. But the original focus of tastingroom.com was really to bring the tasting room try and buy feature to consumers. And the whole idea came about because I do have a small winery in Sonoma County, and I also have an olive company called Dry Creek Olive Company, and I have tasting rooms, and the tasting rooms are my gold. I mean, those tasting rooms basically, you know, keep me in business on those businesses. And it was a couple years ago that I looked at, you know, my financials, and I said, wow, you know, how can I scale these brick and mortar facilities? And, you know, I did a lot of research with the olive oil and did samples, and it was a home run. And then I said, hey, what if I could do this with my wine? And, you know, wine is a little bit of a different beast. There's some similarities, especially around oxidation, but wine is a much more sensitive liquid, to say the least, than olive oil. So I spent a lot of time over the last 2 years with working with UC Davis and a bunch of other folks and figured out how to do it. And I said, great, now I can apply this to my own small winery. But then I had this aha moment where I said, wait a minute, why do this for my own small winery? Why not do this for the whole industry? And that's how tastingroom.com was born. So if we go into how we do the samples, you know, we did spend a lot of time with semiconductor technology because we're not just trying to create an environment, an atmosphere that is completely free of oxygen when we do the breakdown. We actually take 750s and we break them down into small bottles. I'm going to ask our colleague Nick, who's out there in the audience. We actually have some Deloach kits, and we're going to float them around. We have about 5 kits or so. And if you could just float them back and forth so you can see what it is we're doing, and then I have some other samples up here that I'll show in a bit, that'd be great. So there are 50 milliliter samples. And we do that breakdown inside of this. Again, it's a room that humans cannot go inside, or they'll die. OSHA loves us, and we bring all the material in through airlocks, and we bring all the material out through airlocks. And airlocks are the things like, you know, in submarines or in spaceships that you go in and out of, you know, the main chamber, if you will, the main room. Through. And we designed the equipment inside to do the breakdown. It's most of it is custom equipment. And then we also stole some equipment from the pharmaceutical industry because they too have a need to move liquids very carefully and with very tight precision on volume. And that's about all I'm going to say about our process because then you have to sign an NDA if you want to know more. So we call it the total anaerobic sample transfer environment, or TASTE for short. And as I mentioned earlier, we kind of have a tight window on the life of the product. And it's typically around 3 to 6 months. And different wines are different. Some wines will last longer. And it's not that they'll last, it's that they will match the big mother, you know, the big father, right? So they'll track the 750, let's say, for, in some cases, 6 months. And there's an enjoy-by date, as you'll see if you pick up these bottles that are being cycled around. You'll see that date on the back. And we do a lot of lab analytics, which we'll talk about in a second. But Kerry, is one of his main roles is really on the sensory side. And I'm going to turn it over to Kerry to talk a little bit about that.
Thanks, Tim. So starting when Tim and I got together last autumn, some of the concerns, of course, that I had were that we had to be doing testing. And we worked very closely. First, I called my old professor, Ann Noble, at UC Davis, and Ann's been retired for quite a while. She says, no, Kerry, I don't work anymore. But and then we spoke to Hilgard, who really took Ann's position in sensory testing at UC Davis, and the goal was for us to be able to track time and with these minis after transfer. Hilgard also, we are actually we offered UC Davis an opportunity if they wanted to work with us, and they suggested we actually work with a consumer testing company called Tragon. They're down in Redwood Shores on the peninsula. Very, very well respected. They do consumer testings of many different products, not just food. So what we did is we chose, and these were wines. Correct me on the date, but I think we put the chamber in early November. Correct? October. Okay. So, and we immediately, and we really hadn't done any work. So, but we wanted immediately to start this testing with Tragon. We did two Sauvignon Blancs. We did one with a Mason Sauvignon Blanc with Stelvin. We did a Sauvignon Blanc that I make in Dutcher, in cork finished from Dutcher Crossing in Dry Creek. We did a Segesio Pinot Noir. We did a Segesio Zinfandel, a Pinot Noir I made for T.R. Eliot, which was unfiltered. So we bottled that unfiltered. And we did a Trefethen Cabernet and Chardonnay, correct? Those are all the wines. We then paid Tragon, and they had a panel of some 20-some people to test these wines using the Duo Trios testing. And Duo Trios is a type of test where you're looking for differences. So you're given three glasses of wine. One would be reference, and then two other wines would be of random numbers, and one would be the 750 bottle, one would be the 50 ml bottle. And so the goal, of course, was number one. We wanted to keep it very simple. We didn't ask, which we've changed now in our testing, we asked, can you tell the difference? That was our goal. And we passed, we did this for 3 months, and we passed with all wines, all the way through 3 months, including the unfiltered Pinot Noir. So we're very happy about that. We continue to do testing. We have a winemaker panel, myself, one of my main roles. I have two roles, right? One is we do duo trios, in-house duo trios between another winemaker and myself of everything that goes out back to the customer. We also test for TCA, and we're using the nose. That is going to change as of next week. And Tim will talk. We just bought a GC mass spec, which is of course reproducible. So the testing is very important to us. We have a library. We have a team of winemakers that test on a duo trio basis. Library wines that are beyond 3 months, going to 6 months, and as Tim said, our goal is that the wines last at least 6 months, and we are just right at that point right now. Tim will give this back to you.
Great. Thanks, Kerry. And, you know, the main point there is that it's the winemakers of the wineries that decide whether or not it works. So any wine that doesn't pass, it doesn't ship. It doesn't ship back to the winery for their uses in some ways that you'll hear Julia talk about in a bit, nor does it go to the consumer. So we're really putting the power to the wineries here. And, you know, the partnerships, Davis has been phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I wasn't able to join you all day because I was actually up in Davis most of the day today, and Tragon and several other partners. So we have our own in-house laboratory where we do not just TCA testing. We have the apparently it's only one in the world that's just coming online right now, and it can do a crazy amount of samples in terms of TCA testing, and it uses a twister technology, which is relatively new from Gerstle. So a lot of Agilent GC mass specs and Gerstle robotics and whatnot. We also look at every single bottle that's opened inside of our process. We actually do a full panel workup, for the basic parameters, whether it's, SO2 free dissolved alcohol percentages, kind of some basic parameters. and then just make sure that nothing is wildly different than what the winemakers say it should be. And if it is different, then we just notify the winery. And we give the winery all that data. So every winery that works with us knows their exact, corked rate, corked incidence, their percentage. They know their bottle-to-bottle variations, not just objectively through all of the lab testing, but also, as Carrie mentioned, we don't provide any of the initial wines back to the winery unless it passes our sensory testing that's done every Wednesday afternoon, where you can find Carrie feeling really good. So I'm going to turn it over to Julia now to talk about how one of our winery partners, which is doing exclusively Pinots with us, is using tastingroom.com.
Hi there. So I'm from Deloach Vineyards, and we're a Russian River Valley producer in Santa Rosa. We make about 140,000 cases of wine, and about half of which of that is Pinot Noir. So we take Pinot pretty seriously. We have 15 different Pinot bottlings. We decided to make these kits. We did about 500 tasting kits, half of which were vineyard designates that ranged between $45 and $60 a bottle. So, you know, it's hard to move wine like that in this economy. So when our GM and our owner approached myself and Brian, my co-winemaker, about decanting wine into mini bottles, I thought, that's weird. Why would you take a wine that's so delicate and so, well, fragile? Pinot Noir is pretty fragile, and decant it and put it into these tiny bottles. But when I learned a little bit more about the technology and I actually saw how it was done, I became a believer. And in fact, just the other day, we did one of those duo trio tasting trials with Carrie, and I had a very hard time distinguishing between the 750 bottle and the 50 mil bottle. So they're doing an excellent job with that anaerobic sample transfer. Absolutely, right. Right, there was we were asked to notate which, if there were any preference, which sample. Of course, it's all blind. And more than half the time, I preferred the mini bottle, which absolutely astounded me. But that was kind of, I was forcing myself to make a preference. I really had a difficult time. It was just a slight preference, is the way I would say. So yes, it's not only is it difficult to tell the difference between the two, but many times I preferred the mini. Don't know why exactly that is. We produced our kits in March of this year, and I felt like I was part of the whole process. So every single bottle, 750, that they decanted was poured for me prior to bottling. So I was able to smell and taste. Of course, I did the TCA detection. There were times when I tasted a bottle and it was just a little bit off, and not necessarily TCA, but there's always bottle-to-bottle variation. There can be bottle-to-bottle variation with the 750s. And so I was there every step of the way to say, you know, this one just isn't quite right. So and they would whisk it away, and they have some very precise control of, they match the 750 to every single tray that they complete the 50 mil bottle trays. So everything is tracked. So we've been selling them in our tasting room. They've sold about 42 kits, I just asked them that yesterday, in 2 weeks. The perception is very positive. I think a lot of times people see them and they think they're really cute and they're very novel, and they are novel. But I also feel that they're a powerful tool for selling wine. Oftentimes, for sales, the sales team in particular, when they're on the road, they don't have the restaurateurs and sommeliers and wine buyers just don't have time to taste. You may not necessarily want to leave a $60 bottle of Pinot, but you can leave a 50-ml bottle and they can taste it when they have time. So, I mean, that's one small way that I think these kits can be a useful tool to sell more expensive wine in this economy. Not to mention the fact that it's really fun to be able to get a kit like this delivered to your home and just sit there and at home and taste. So it's been a very positive experience and eye-opening, too, for me.
Thanks, Julia. I think actually what Julia said when she first heard of this is you guys are, and she said some swear words, crazy, something like that, I think is what it really was, yeah. And you know, we get that response a lot, and we're okay with that. Because, again, all we're trying to do is put the power back to the wineries and really put the power ultimately to the palate when it comes to trying wines for the sake of buying it. So when we get back to tastingroom.com working with wineries, we're seeing all kinds of things working with the different wineries we have. We have probably about 80 or so wineries that we are working with in this trade way. And, you know, some of them are using it literally to arm their distributors, especially back east. There are several wineries that are doing that. And they not only see it as cost savings, as I was mentioning earlier, but also getting that perfect pour to the particular account that they're going to. Some of them are providing it to their national sales team, and there's a very prominent Napa winery. The owner just, you know, sends me email and calls me all the time and just says, you know, thank you for saving my back, because this particular owner lugs 750s all over the country and coordinates shipping and all that. And then, you know, for the Somms, as Julia was saying, most of the wineries that we work with, they all say, when I'm out there on a sales trip, you know, nobody has time for me, and so I end up just leaving a 750, and I pray that they might try it. But we all know what happens to that. Maybe 10% of the time it might be tried, and then the other 90% it's either given to somebody or brought home. And, you know, the press is one thing. I think, you know, giving 750s is great for the press. Over the last few years, there's so many bloggers, though, that have come up, and I'm sure for those of you who have wineries, you're probably getting requests from, you know, bloggers and people you don't know, you never heard about, but they want to try your wine and do a review. And, you know, it's a more economical way to get that to those kind of expanded online press that has blossomed over the last few years. Then there's the direct-to-consumer that a lot of our winery partners are doing themselves, you know, rewarding wine club members. It's such an important time when we're in this kind of economic slump to retain our wine club members. And a lot of wineries are doing that. They're giving their wine club members a preview of the new releases that are coming out and saying, hey, try these wines. You're going to be getting some, you know, some of these in the next few shipments over the coming year. They're also using it. A lot of wineries, in addition to their wine club, they have email lists. Some wineries call it, you know, their dead list because, as we all know, wine club members churn out so frequently. The average life used to be about 18 months. I think it's coming down to 12 or even less. And so, you know, really trying to reinvigorate those email lists to come back to the winery. We're seeing a lot of that, too. Or, you know, enabling others to give it to others and corporate gifts. I have an interesting story about that one. We just launched our consumer service last Monday. And on day two, we got an email from a very large company in Silicon Valley who wanted to buy thousands, and you know, and they didn't want a discount or anything. They just wanted thousands, and they wanted a custom tasting menu. If you've noticed in the Deloach kits that have been floating around, which, by the way, wherever those are, why don't you float those back around again? Maybe, Nick, you can float those back around. And then if you see a bottle that's interesting to you, there are six different Pinots in there. Grab one, open it up, try it with your neighbor, and see what it tastes like. So I don't want to take any of these Deloach kits home, even though Julie and I love these, right? but we're not going to take them home. So there's a lot of interest in gifts, which is kind of a gift that keeps giving, because then, you know, corporations give them to others who then, you know, go, wow, I like this, and they'll come back to the winery and buy it. I have a story on that one with my olive company. I do these exact same kits for my olive blends, all my olive oils. And my online store has shot through the roof over the last year, mainly because of these kits. And I get customers from states and areas that I do no advertising in. And when we follow it up, it's because they receive them as gifts. And then, you know, they make nice to-go packs in the tasting room. So that's the winery business. And basically, tastingroom.com does the breakdown of the wines and you know, sells them back to the wineries as a service, okay? Some wineries put them in kits. Some wineries take them in bulk. We have several wineries that have converted all their 750 milliliter tasting to 50 milliliters. And so we have these cardboard boxes. You know, they look like cases of wine, except, you know, you can hold in the palm of your hand 14 bottles. So it's a new case. Instead of 12 750s, it's 14 50s. And that's been working really well for a lot of them. So on May 3rd, which is, I think it's last Monday, everything's a blur to me these days. When you do a startup, you don't sleep much. We launched tastingroom.com, and really it's about what I said earlier, which is capturing that part of the tasting room that consumers enjoy today, where they can try and buy different wines. And we're only working with real wineries. You know, people ask me, well, how do you set the criteria? And I'm like, well, you know, do they have a winery? Do they have vineyards? Are they a brand recognized name? And I admit that we've probably spent more time in Napa than any place. And that's, you can drink them now. You can drink them now. But in, you know, Napa has a good consumer brand. Obviously, we want, you know, Anderson Valley and Dry Creek Valley and other valleys to start getting you know, better awareness there. What we do, though, is we offer promotions on every sale. So we're really trying to keep the consumer tied in with the sale, just like a tasting room works, right? So, you know, I'm not sure up here in Anderson Valley what the norm is. You know, Napa's kind of extreme. You know, I think the average is probably over $20 is what they charge in a tasting room for, you know, for taste. And they used to give that money back when you would buy, you know, a few bottles. They're not doing that anymore. Sonoma County is still doing that. I'm sure in Anderson Valley would want to do that as well. And so we do that too. It's kind of that whole, you know, if you buy some of the product, you know, you get your taste back, so to speak. But we have free shipping and a bunch of other things to try to entice that tie-in between the taste and the sale. Because as I said at the very, very, very beginning, we're here to just help wineries sell more wine, or for us to help wineries sell more wine, period. And we let the consumers choose for themselves. I can't see the slides there, but I think you get the idea. You go to tasteroom.com, you can see the different kits that are available, and you know, you can buy the kits, you can come back later after you tasted it, and then you can buy the wines shipped directly to the home. So even though we have more than 80 wineries we're working with on the trade side, because we just started the consumer side, we launched with 6 inaugural wineries. And you'll see this grow every month as we add more wineries and more wines. I think there's about 40 wines right now that are on tastingroom.com. And you can see Deloach there. I think that Patson Hall has quite a few Pinots. There's about 50% Pinots in the Patson Hall. And Gunlock Bunshu has a Pinot, and Tally has Pinot as well. They're from the Central Coast. So we have a lot of experience with Pinots. You know, we're not perfect in some of the really extreme aromatic whites, and we basically are very open with wineries about that. But we have some really interesting new technology that we're bringing online in the next month that we think are going to nail the real extreme aromatic whites. We do Chards. We do, you know, sort of the mainstream whites really well. I was going to do a demo, but we don't have internet access, so I just encourage you all to just go to tasteroom.com and you can see for yourself. It's a real simple site. And it's gonna change every few weeks. It's gonna change. We just launched in California. We just launched with a small number of wineries. The one thing that I will also tell you is that we don't want to outsource to a bunch of different companies. We're dealing with premium wines with, you know, from premium wineries. So we do everything in-house. We're 100% vertically integrated. The wine comes from the winery or the winery's warehouse, if they have a third-party warehouse. It comes to our facility. We have a very large warehouse in Santa Rosa next to Sonoma County Airport. And there were some logistics reasons for doing that for UPS and FedEx. And that's where we do the main operations out of California. So, you know, it's a one-stop shop, if you will, for wineries. And we don't use night cooling or any of that stuff in our warehouse. It's completely active cooling and heating. And as Julia and Carrie can attest to, it's very cold. We do some interesting things there in the decanting side of the business. And in the warehouse, everything is pegged at 60 degrees, and it just does not fluctuate. So you see the taste kits. Maybe for the sake of time, afterwards you can come up, since this is the last talk, and you can see all the wineries that I had up there, the Gergich Hills and the Trefethen's, et cetera, and you can see how they do their kits. And the tasting notes, for example, in those Deloach kits, those tasting notes, Tasting Room did not do. Those were done by the winemaking staff at Deloach. So we're really letting the winery speak, because after all, it is their wine. So this is somewhat of a contrast to that 100-point system that Dan spoke so well about. It's really, you know, letting these very complex products speak for themselves. I personally have a lot of experience in the music industry and really drew on analogs there as well. Because music is a very sensory product, just like wine. No matter how you explain it, a person doesn't really have an emotional connection with it unless they hear it for themselves. And we really drove that home. You know, there's a lot of things that are changing in the industry. You know, so much is done online today. You know, music, as I was talking about, you know, iTunes is the number one retailer, and they let you try this emotional, you know, sensory product before you buy it, and that's really what we're trying to do as well. And even though, you know, you can go to Blockbuster and other video rental places that are just around the corner, Netflix has amassed, you know, 12 million members and growing through this online service. And, you know, in this economy, you know, Julie pointed out that the $40 to $65 range, you know, that premium price point, everybody has a different opinion of it. You know, we tend to work in the $20 and above range. So I think, Carrie, we have wineries from $20 to $200.
One of the kits that we did, so we did two kits. One was our vineyard designate selection, and then the other one was a range of from California Appalachian wine all the way to our reserve OFS wine. So a $10 bottle through to a $38 bottle. So we did two kits. So we had a kit that's priced a little bit lower that the consumer could taste across varying price points.
And that's a good point. I didn't mention on the online service, kits range from $9.99 to $29.99. So, you know, it's in the range of what you would have in a tasting room experience where you pay $5, $10, $20, $50 in some unnamed wineries in Napa. So, you know, we spent a lot of time over the last couple of years before we actually embarked on this is really making sure that we could do this. And obviously, you know, from a legal standpoint, we wanted to make sure that we were doing the right things. And what was interesting is that the agencies, the regulatory agencies, they claim that hardly anyone goes to them before they actually do something to get approval. Well, we did, and I'm sure others have as well, but we spent a lot of time in D.C. With the TTB, and, you know, John Manfreda, who heads up the TTB, he's personally involved, has been personally involved, and, you know, they've been very supportive. But also they've given us great feedback of how actually we should do this. So we've had to tweak certain processes and whatnot. But we're 100% compliant, and we've met with the ABCs of the important states, and we hope to meet with all of them and eventually branch into as many states as possible. I should say that we're actually a producer, so we actually are a bonded winery. We touch wine. And so technically we have the ability to go to about 41 states right now, but we're only in California. Last year, we did, I would say, the most expensive thing that a small startup would do, and that is we commissioned a huge, huge focus group project. And we did it down in L.A. area, actually down in Irvine and San Diego area. And we did younger demographics, more mature demographics, wine newbies, wine lovers, and wine enthusiasts. And throughout all the different segments that we did, we did about 1,000 consumers. And we tested what we were doing. Again, before we actually did what we were doing, we wanted to make sure that that consumers would be open to this. And we were kind of shocked by the response. You know, I will say that the more mature enthusiasts, at first, they felt offended because, you know, wine tasting is a, sometimes it's a very expensive thing. Sometimes, as Dan said, or Jordan, I think as you said too, it's a very intimidating thing. And they want to keep it that way, in a way, right? Because it's something very unique, and we were trying to commoditize that, they felt. And then when they started to realize that they could actually gift these kind of things and get their friends into the snobbiest world, and we call them snobbiest, by the way. We want to do a reality TV show because of what we saw behind the one-way mirrors. And they had such great input, but that was the toughest group by far, and we just wanted to make sure we didn't offend them, right? Because we're just trying to get your wines, our wines, out into more people's palates. So that was a huge, huge effort that we undertook, and that's what caused us to just pedal to the metal, and that's when we really ramped the team and got everything in place. So how do we work with wineries? It's really simple. The first step is, if wineries are interested, we do sample decants. And we ask for 3 bottles of any SKU. And wineries can do 1 SKU, 10 SKUs, 20 SKUs. It doesn't really matter. What we return back is 1 750-milliliter bottle and 12 50-milliliter bottles, and then let wineries do their tasting. And we encourage the blind duo trio because that is a discriminating test, and that's really what we're trying to do here is, can you discern a difference between the small bottles and the larger formats. And then, if that works, then wineries can decide if they want to do this. And they can start with the trade business, which for us we call it the trade business, but that's just tasting room providing as a service kits or sample wines for wineries. And then they can do whatever they want, either with the trade or with consumers. And we do a full turnkey solution. The label approvals are actually working really well. We have graphic artists on staff. We have we work with different label companies, although Paragon is one of our favorites. And the approvals come in most of the time in 24 hours, especially because we've actually been working with the label division back in D.C. on what it is we're doing, and we reference the big label. And so they do very quick turns. But printing can take several weeks because these are real pressure-sensitive labels, just like you would put on high-end wine bottles. And the main message here is that wineries are in control. Wineries decide if it works for them. Wineries decide what SKUs to do for their trade. Wineries decide what SKUs to do for the online marketplace. Tasteroom.com does not decide that at all. So the great thing is that the wineries, do get insight into inventory levels, data, what's happening on the tasteroom.com marketplace, et cetera. And then the last slide is just kind of how it works. Wine is transported to our facility. We keep the sampling wine in a different location than the wine that's for sale. We take most of the wineries we work with, they like to provide us tax-paid wine because then they get the small winery tax credit, which is, I think, 250,000 case level or thereabouts. And consumers transact. We do all the marketing, all the packaging, all the technology. We do all the customer acquisition. And one thing that's really interesting is that we actually will throw the wineries direct consumers too. So if a consumer transacts with us and they buy Deloach wines a couple of times, we go to that consumer and say, hey, it looks like you like Deloach wines. Would you like to follow them? And if they say yes, we give that consumer to Deloach. And Deloach can bring them into their wine club, do whatever they would like. So they're an ultra-qualified customer that can become direct for that winery. Because we don't view it as losing a customer, because from Deloach, they get Deloach wines. But from tastingroom.com, they get, you know, theoretically, wines from all over the world, which is how we're growing the business. And there's a percent there at the end, and you know, I'll just say that it's greater than 50%. It's greater than what you get through the wholesale model, and we wanted to make it that way. But then we also want to give the added benefits of all the data of, you know, all the direct customers, and you don't need a national sales team to support this channel. So you've got your direct business as a winery, and then you've got your wholesale business. And we view ourselves as an additive channel somewhere in between. So that's all we have. And I guess at this point, Jordan, we can open it up to Q&A or whatever. There's three people left, so...